Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
We're finishing up our series on summer grilling today by cooking some potatoes, onions, and peppers in the coals for our hobo potatoes. And we'll pair that with a crisp and fresh coleslaw. Megan Meyer's on vacation this week, so in her place, we spoke with Marion Nessel. Nessel writes the blog foodpolitics.com and is the author of a number of books on food safety and policy. I asked her about some food safety issues that have been in the news recently. In early June, Wisconsin introduced a bill that would allow producers of raw milk to sell their products directly to consumers. Advocates say raw milk is healthier for you, but Nessel isn't so sure.
Yeah, I know that lots and lots of people believe that pasteurization and homogenization do terrible things to milk, but I'm just not aware of studies that I would have any confidence in that show that. On the other hand, it certainly tastes different, and raw milk tastes a lot better to somebody like me who's interested in those kinds of tastes. But I want to know who's producing it, and I want them to know, and I want to know that they're producing it safely, because raw milk carries a slightly higher risk.
In fact, just this week, 24 people have been sickened by E. coli and Campylobacter infections from drinking raw, unpasteurized goat's milk. Issues with food safety are not just confined to food intended for human consumption. In 2007, a massive pet food recall shone light on products from China coming into the United States containing melamine. This industrial chemical is added to make food appear rich in protein, but when it was consumed by dogs and cats, it clogged their kidneys, resulting in thousands of deaths.
And my reaction to that when that event happened was, uh-oh, this is an enormous breach of food safety regulations and food safety practices. And if this could be happening in pet food, it could happen in human food too, because many of the human food ingredients in our products come from China. And, of course, that totally predicted what happened with Chinese infant formula just a few months later.
Just this week, Chinese authorities reported that they are still discovering milk products tainted with melamine. I talked a lot more with Marion Nessel, and we'll post more of that interview up on our website this week and next, eartheats.org. Nessel's new book is Feed Your Pet Right, and that's available now at your local bookstore. Our previous two grilling episodes featured a lot of meat, so today, to please our vegetarian listeners, we're grilling potatoes and veggies. This dish is amazing. It cooks right in the coals of the grill, and you can essentially ignore it and let it cook on its own while you grill other items on top of the grill. We call it hobo potatoes.
This was a recipe that my dad taught me when I was a Cub Scout and Boy Scout. We're going to make kind of a long sausage-shaped package. And we're going to first take some aluminum foil. I'm going to take about 3 foot-and-a-half long pieces and kind of overlap them to make one big square. Okay, and I'm going to turn this over so the shiny side is out. Take a bowl, and I'm going to put the fingerling potatoes in. I'm just going to cut them in half. And the reason you cut them in half is so that they can kind of suck up some of the flavors we're going to put in there. If you left them whole, the flavors wouldn't penetrate the skins as well. Just kind of enrobe these with some good olive oil. And this is a time where you can use good olive oil. And to this, we're going to add diced onions. We're going to add a good tablespoon of minced garlic. All right, now I'm going to cut the poblano open. Nice fresh ground pepper. Now, it may sound like I'm putting a lot of pepper in there. It's just that my pepper mill sucks. Hopefully, Earth Eats will pay me enough that I can buy a new pepper mill.
Fat chance, buddy. While we let the hobo potatoes cook in the coals, we'll prepare our salad dish, a spunky Caribbean coleslaw using fresh-picked red and white cabbage.
What I like about it is that it's very light. You know, it's not one of those mayonnaise-based coleslaws. Now, I've got these beautiful, big, robust heads of cabbage from my friend Kevin Baker. I don't know how he gets these cabbages to grow so quick and so beautifully. And you can see how moist these are on the inside. You cut it open, and it's just shiny, and, you know, it almost looks like marble. And the flavor is just there. You tasted it. It tastes sweet, tastes crispy. It doesn't have that bitterness that, you know, some cabbage has when it's been old and, you know, hanging around the corner too long. All right, so I'm just going to cut this into what we say in French is a chiffonade, which just means thin ribbons. We're going to toss this in what we call a Caribbean vinaigrette, but we're going to make it all right in the bowl, so it's a one-bowl process.
Now, you spent time in the Caribbean.
I did. I worked in Anguilla, which is in the British West Indies. This was one of the dishes I created down there to serve on our lobster barbecue. All right, we've got our two cabbages, and that's going to give us some nice color. To that, we're going to add some other ingredients. I love to add some honey for sweetness. We have some cider vinegar. We have some lemon, some cumin seeds, some jalapenos, or whatever your favorite peppers are. You could add some habaneros if you really like it spicy. You know, when you throw a lot of mayonnaise on everything, oil kind of covers up and distracts and enrobes the bitter, bad cabbage. When you have this fresh cabbage, you want to highlight that, and that's why we add the honey and the spices to really kind of perk it up and make it dance in your mouth. Okay, and again, you can leave this a little bit chunky so you get some bites with the jalapeno and some bites without. All right, we'll throw a little bit of mint in. It's not really in the recipe, but mint's good for everything. We've got some fennel. Give it a taste. Got a little salt and pepper, should do it.
The mint was a really nice touch. Print this recipe from our website and let us know what special touches you add. And you can always share your recipes by dropping us an email, eartheats@gmail.com, or drop by our Facebook page, facebook.com/eartheats. Now it's time to pull the hobo potatoes out from the coals.
Well, you kind of break through this casket, and inside you have these wonderful potatoes with the melt-in-your-mouth onions. The poblanos have become kind of unctuous and soft. The olive oil is perfuming the whole thing. You have the crispy part around the outside as well as the tender, soft potatoes in the interior. And it's just a wonderful combination of flavors and textures and aromas.
And the amazing thing is that it cooked without us even really having to pay attention to it.
Yeah, and you could be like a hobo and be not even worry about your potatoes.
Visit our website to get even more ideas for your summer grillouts, eartheats.org. While you're online, you can find our podcast on iTunes and subscribe to get weekly Earth Eats episodes delivered straight to your computer.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.